Hour number three, Stillman & Company, presented by Southern Bank of Tennessee, your bank for small business, here on 102.5 and 106.3. The Game, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you for two more hours on this Thursday. Again, Jared will be back tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 6 here on The Game. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Talked a lot of NFL football this week.
Yes, we did.
Lots of NFL football. And we'll get back a little bit into the National Football League later on in the show. But let's talk some college football.
Yes!
We are, as I can read on the Chasing Big Joe board, actually that's from yesterday, we are 44 days away from college football in week zero.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting close. And one of the milestones of the football offseason is media days. And that's when I feel like it starts to feel like you're ramping up towards the football season. You get into fall camp soon. The Big 12 is having their media days this week. There's been plenty of headlines coming out of there.
Some great ones.
Deion Sanders basically saying it's unfair, all of the NIL stuff, and asking for a salary cap. And was it Mike Gundy basically saying, like, they need to collectively bargain everything for
NIL? Mike Gundy says a lot of things.
I'm a man. I'm 40. But SEC Media Days is next week, starting Monday in Atlanta. Vanderbilt will speak on Monday. I believe they're bringing Clark Lee, Diego Pavia, Randon Fontenette, yep, and Martell Height.
Yes, sir.
Tennessee will go on Tuesday afternoon. They're bringing, is it Arian Carter? Parker Kelly?
Yes. Arian Carter from Smyrna High School.
Bryson Eason and Miles Kitzelman. So
Miles Kitzelman's a tank in the game, by the way.
He is. Won't be bringing a quarterback.
He was also brought in to be basically a special teams guy and then emerged as tight end one. So he exceeded expectations.
Hey, we love those stories. I mean, how many walk-on, like J.J. Watt was a walk-on tight end at Wisconsin, mm-hmm, ended up being a first-round pick at defensive end, so it happens. Just in general with the SEC, this is a year where you've got some teams that are in the national championship conversation. Texas is up towards the top. Alabama, Georgia is always going to be in that conversation.
Yep.
But it is so deep this year that it wouldn't shock me if we saw six or seven of these teams in the SEC right around the playoff conversation towards the very end.
No, because I think you're discounting, not discounting, you're naming national championship contenders, but there are teams that I think could sneak in the playoff, like a South Carolina or an Ole Miss or teams like that that are kind of that second tier of SEC. It's going to be a really fun year because this is just such a deep conference and just so much talent comes out of here, so many young stars that you're going to see in the NFL. I can't wait for college football, man.
Best time of year.
Yes,
it is. I cannot wait for the first morning we wake up with college game day on. It's always
Reese Davis monologue.
Right. The first Reese Davis monologue is just from
tears to my eyes.
From the banks of the Olden Tangi on, I guess that would be August 31st. August 30th.
Yeah.
When Ohio State and Texas square off.
And I think they'll be in Dublin as well.
Yeah, they'll go to Dublin.
Oh, right. I forgot they're in Dublin too.
Farmageddon.
Kansas State, Iowa State. There are going to be some teams in the SEC that take a step back this year. I don't think Missouri is going to be nearly as good as they've been the last couple of years. Sorry, Eli Drinkwitz. I just don't see it. I don't know if Ole Miss is going to be quite as good as they were last year.
They're interesting because they have a lot of young talent. I really like their quarterback.
Austin Simmons,
yeah.
He's really young, too. I think he's only 18.
Sophomore.
Reclassified.
He's already graduated college.
He played baseball for them as well. Lefty. But he's really fast. They got a lot of young talent on the skill positions. Their defense is what I think is going to take a little bit of a step back after losing Walter Nolan.
Absolutely. And, yeah. Their transfer portal class is nowhere close to as good as it was last year.
Yeah, I think Ole Miss is not going. They missed their window last year to make it to the playoff. They choked one too many times. Kentucky probably being the biggest one.
No, that's fake news. Kentucky went undefeated last year.
Oh, right. Sorry.
They won the national
championship. I forgot about that.
Fake news.
But I think you can just go up and down this 16 teams, and there's obviously there are the teams that you know are going to be in it all year long, but there's a lot of teams that you think, well, maybe if everything goes right for them, like Auburn. I don't think Auburn's going to be all that good, but maybe Jackson Arnold. Like, there's so much talent there, you wonder if he figures it out with a change of scenery. I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm not an Auburn believer.
That's the reverse Bo Nix situation. Bo Nix left Auburn to realize
and
his potential.
Figured it out, yeah.
Now Jackson Arnold's coming to Auburn to realize his.
I'm not saying I think it's going to happen, but there's so many teams like that. Like, I think Florida's going to be in the conversation. I think South Carolina's going to be in the conversation. I would say both those teams have a good chance to make the playoff this year. You look at Texas A&M. There's a lot of talent at Texas A&M, a lot of money at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. There's a chance that they finally figured it out with Marcel Reed at quarterback. I like the Aggies a little bit. I like Mike Elko.
They just scream 9-3 to me.
Yeah.
8-4.
Right. And that's what they do every year.
Yeah. They always float around that area. So
Oklahoma bringing in Mateer from Washington State. But maybe that's what gets them over the hump a little bit.
Brought in his offensive coordinator as well, and Ben Arbuckle, and the quarterback coach from Washington State.
Right.
All in Norman.
I just look at, there's going to be those teams at the top. Your Alabama, Florida, Georgia, LSU, South Carolina, Texas. They're all going to be in the conversation. I feel pretty good about those. Was that, what, 5 or 6 teams?
Yes.
But I think there's going to be 2 or 3 others that maybe we're not looking at. A&M could be that. Vanderbilt and Tennessee. I think both of them have their warts for different reasons. Tennessee, it's just tough to lose your quarterback that late in the offseason and try and figure it out on the run. Not that I think Nico was – it's not like Nico was a game changer last year.
But they took a dip in talent.
Right. Like Joey Aguilar and Jake Merklinger, they aren't the same type of player that Nico is.
Right.
And there's basically already been a – and I've said before, we'll see how Vols fans feel about this in December. But Vols fans basically are saying, like, all right, this is going to be a down year. Like, we're going to give Heupel a pass on this year because – You lose the most important player on your team in spring practice where you really don't have an opportunity to replace him. You got to at least give him a pass. For Vanderbilt, and we're going to talk a lot more about Vanderbilt in the next segment. Vandy, it's can you recreate the magic of last year?
Yeah.
Did you catch lightning in a bottle last year with everybody sleeping on you and you came out and punched him in the mouth and got to 7-6, or was that legit and you can take the next step from there and be an 8-9 win team? The schedule's tough. It is. But there are a lot of teams like that in the SEC outside of the elite who, if things do fall into place right, could end up making a run and being towards that back end of the top 12 at the end of the season.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of storylines this year, too, like that. Like Vanderbilt. Can they capitalize on a good season for their standards, I guess I could say. Tennessee, is it really, really a down year? If they make the playoffs, is that a success for Josh Heupel and the Vols? I don't know. There's a lot of storylines going in this season. It'll be fun to watch a lot of them play out.
Here's an interesting nugget about Tennessee. So, obviously, like the quarterback situation up in there, we don't know who's going to start. We think it's probably going to be Joey Aguilar, but the Vols opened with Syracuse Week 1, neutral site at Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Or Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and then they have East Tennessee State. Week 3 is Georgia. So you have two kind of cupcake games to kind of figure out the quarterback situation before you have to gear up for Georgia, but it's Georgia. And Josh Heupel's not been able to beat Georgia yet.
Georgia that early in the season is tough. Don't call Syracuse a cupcake quite yet. They're going to be. I think Syracuse has slept on a little.
Oh, we're talking about one of my buddies has just accepted the head coaching role at Syracuse.
Wow, so now you got to face him Week 1.
After 1 year.
Your buddies with Fran Brown?
Fran Brown just got fired, pal. After 1 year as the Virginia Tech offensive coordinator, he is taking his talents to the Cuse.
Nevada Josh actually heard the same thing from you that Kentucky went 12-0. He said he also heard the Raiders are going to go undefeated this year.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we'll see each other. We'll pass each other on the way to our respective championships.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to take a deeper dive into the two in-state schools here. Vanderbilt first, then we'll look at Tennessee. What are their seasons going to look like as we head into SEC Media Days? Again, we're going to hear from both teams coming up next week. Vanderbilt on Monday afternoon with head coach Clark Lee, quarterback Diego Pavia, outside linebacker Randon Fontanette, and defensive back Martell Hite. For Tennessee, head coach Josh Heupel, linebacker Arian Carter, tight end Miles Kitzelman, and defensive lineman Bryson Eason. So we'll go into the two in-state schools coming up in the next 30 minutes. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Yes.
Well done. Yeah, there you go. Nevada Josh said we're Drake and Josh, so.
This is a great song.
It is.
Drake Bell, the voice of Spider-Man at one point.
Really?
Yes,
I didn't know that.
He was on a cartoon.
Before I get to a little bit of breaking news for you, Connor.
For me?
Specifically? Yeah, specifically for you. Let's give away some tickets. It's our last day. Let's be generous with people out there if I can find the ticket giveaway on here. There it is. Be caller number...
19.
No, be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025 to win two tickets to see Nelly with Ja Rule and special guests at Ascend Amphitheater on Tuesday, September 16th. That is caller number 3 at 615-737-1025 to see Nelly and others on September 16th. Little bit of breaking news for you, Connor. The NCAA Men's and Women's Committee has met discussing expansion of the NCAA tournament. And they have not made any decision. They will not expand it as of right now.
Good. Thank you,
it's
Lord.
It's a win for America.
Thank you, Lord. They should never expand that.
I agree.
68 is perfect.
I think it's good because 64 was fine. But if you want to add the first four,
yeah, fine.
I'm okay with that. But we don't need any more teams in the tournament.
I mean, you would be adding lesser talent.
It's just a money grab at that point.
Yeah, it's not. They don't need to do that. Now, Charlie Baker likes money, so.
Right. It'll happen eventually, yeah. But it shouldn't. It should not. Let's get back into college football. SEC Media Days coming up on Monday through, I believe, Thursday of next week. Right? Yeah, four teams per day. So, yeah. So, Monday through Thursday in Atlanta next week. Vandy is going to go on day one. Vanderbilt coming off a 7-6 season, 1 year removed from going 2-10 and losing their final 10 games of the year back in 2023. They turn it around, bring in Diego Pavia, bring in Jerry Kill, bring in Tim Beck, Eli Stowers, all New Mexico State Aggies, and they go 7-6. They beat Virginia Tech, who, as much as I hated seeing the Hokies lose. I love seeing Vanderbilt get that big win over a Hokies team that was a sleeper for the college football playoff last year. Like, people can say that they weren't, but Pat McAfee picked them to go to the college football playoff last year. So, heading into the season week one, that was a big game. Vandy announced to the world that they were here. Big win for Vandy. That led to wins over Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky.
No, that didn't happen.
Oh, that didn't happen either?
No, it was fake news.
Sorry, fake news. And then a win over Georgia Tech in the Birmingham Bowl. 7-6 for the Doors last year. Now the key is, can you build on it? And this is such an important year for Clark Lee because 1 year isn't going to change the national view of what Vanderbilt football is.
Yeah.
But if you can string together back-to-back years where you're a threat to beat anybody on any given Saturday, that's when Vanderbilt is going to start to grow as a national power. Being in the SEC, being in Nashville, being one of the best degrees that you can get across America, I think Vandy needs to have a great year this year. It's not going to be easy, but there are wins to be gotten on that schedule.
It's not going to be easy, and I think part of that is they are talking themselves into a hole. When Diego Pavia goes on Bussin' with the Boys and says Vanderbilt is the new power in Tennessee, I know he's, you know, trying to hype up his team and trying to appeal to the fan base, but I think they're talking too much smack. Alabama's pissed off that you beat them here. Tennessee is not going to go light on you because you're a rival playing in their home stadium. So I think it's going to be a lot harder than Vanderbilt thinks it's going to be. It's just a matter of, can they perform the same way they did down the stretch last year?
Right. And like last year, everybody kind of doubted Vandy even after they were getting the wins. It was, all right, well, you beat Virginia Tech, but they're probably not as good as people thought they were going to be. They're an ACC team.
They
do it again.
But
they weren't very good.
Yeah.
No, I agree. But then Alabama. It's like, oh, you got lucky on one day and beat Alabama. Then they strung together back-to-back wins at Auburn, at Kentucky was...
That was
no,
it
was
at Kentucky.
Yeah, so back-to-back wins on the road against SEC teams. I think Vandy proved it last year. Now, they struggled down the stretch. I think some injuries were part of that. But they came back, got the win over Georgia Tech in the bowl game. This year, the schedule is tough. You start with Charleston Southern at home, which I like. I think it's good to get that tune-up game where there are some new pieces, especially on the offensive line. I think it'll be good for them to have that game against Charleston Southern here in Nashville. But then your next two games, again, at Virginia Tech. I'm not trying to say the Hokies are going to be good this year, but it's a night game in Blacksburg.
Yeah.
That's not
that
an
is,
easy place to go
that's
play.
That's one of the toughest environments you'll ever play.
And then at South Carolina in a night game, back-to-back weeks.
Oof.
So that's tough. If you could come out of that stretch 2-1, I think you feel pretty good.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's a win for everyone in bowl.
And then Georgia State and Utah State at home. I know Georgia State got Vandy. That's kind of like Ryan Williams talking about they want revenge on Vandy for last year.
Vandy's going to be
Vandy wants revenge on Georgia State. I think you can win those two. You could be 4-1 heading to Alabama for that game.
Not to pat myself on the back, but I told you when they played Georgia State, they're playing on Turner Field, weird dimensions.
That was such a strange game, too.
Yeah.
Like, Vandy struggled most of the game. They came back. They took the lead. It looked like they were going to escape and then just gave up a touchdown drive in
the
final
seconds.
That was
a weird couple of weeks. Because wasn't it the next week they played Missouri and went to overtime with them?
Right.
And should have won.
Missed a field goal in double overtime. Then I think they had a bye week after that and then beat Alabama the week after. What a month for Vanderbilt football. But it is tough. Let's say you're 4-1 heading into Alabama. At Alabama is going to be a tough game, like it always is. And
it's not.
You're not going to chalk that up as a win for sure. Then you got LSU coming to town. It's in Nashville at the very least, but LSU's going to be really good this year.
They're going
to
be fun.
LSU's a national title contender coming to Nashville.
And then Missouri comes to Nashville. I think that should be a win. I feel good about that. At Texas, again, that's maybe your preseason number one team in the country on the road.
Now, they played Texas close last year here in Nashville, but at Texas in Austin.
Yeah, in Austin, that's a tough environment.
I think Vandy's season is going to come down to their last three games. I think these last three games are going to be massive because it could be the difference between an 8-win year and a 5-win year is Auburn and Kentucky at home. And then at Tennessee.
I think they're all winnable games.
Right. They're winnable. Not saying they're going to win all of them.
But it's a possibility. Like, Kentucky is not going to be very good. Auburn is up in the air. They're going to be better than Kentucky, I think. But they're still, they're not the greatest team. And you're playing them here.
Yeah.
You're playing two of the three games here in Nashville. Tennessee is going to be tough just because it's in Neyland.
It's a
rival.
Right.
They don't like what you said about them.
Right.
Those fans,
the bulletin
especially.
Board material is there. But
Tennessee is not the Tennessee of 2022. There's no Hendon Hooker or Jalen Hyatt out there anymore.
You're probably not going to get run out of that stadium just because the offense for Tennessee I don't think is going to be as explosive this year.
Right.
Could be wrong.
But look at that 5-game stretch for Vandy. You're at Alabama at home versus LSU versus Missouri at Texas and then Auburn. And you have a bye week sprinkled in there, but still. That is a tough five-game stretch.
That's life playing in the SEC, which it's just reality.
That's almost life for Florida or Oklahoma, except they have it much worse, but still very tough.
2459 on the text line asks, who did y'all say was the loss for Vandy starting off? I kind of just chalked it up as, if you go 1-1 against Virginia Tech and South Carolina, you feel good. If I had to say the loss, I would say South Carolina. Beat Virginia Tech, lose to South Carolina.
Honestly, if you were to ask me today, I think they would go 0-2 in that stretch. Just because I think Lane Stadium is such a tough environment to play in at night.
It's hit or miss with Lane because, you do have games like we mentioned the other day, the North Carolina game coming out of COVID where it felt like that
Stadium just suffocated North Carolina's offense. But then the year before that, or 2 years before that, Duke came in and beat the Hokies like 42-6 in a night game.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you would know better than me.
Right. So like it's not always like an automatic loss when you go play Virginia Tech
right.
in a night game, but it is a tough place to go play. Skyler on our text line says Vandy will get smacked this year. SEC defenses will figure Pavia out. My response to that would be Hugh Freeze has now had three chances to figure Diego Pavia out, and he is 0-3.
Yeah, but that's just one example.
But, I mean, but you're right. I understand. I'm just saying, like, you can say that what Pavia does, I know there are probably people out there. Actually, there was an Auburn podcast that was going around saying that Pavia is not a good quarterback and he's gimmicky. But Pavia just knows how to win. Like
he does.
He doesn't have the big arm.
To Skyler's point, I think he has a point that I think defenses are going to figure him out to some level. Like, I think Alabama is going to figure Diego Pavia out.
Right, and he's going to have to make adjustments the other way. But Vandy, this is like I said, this is a big season for them. And you look at the schedule and you see that it is tough. And that stretch that Parker mentioned, like, it could be a slippery slope where things get out of control. But if you're able to just keep your head above water for that stretch of Alabama, LSU, Missouri, Texas, and get to those last three games with five wins, you got a chance to go be an eight-win team.
By the way, you and I have graduated from the Mouseketeers.
Oh, we did?
And we are now the Avengers.
Oh, wow.
So
where does that leave me?
We've joined Willie.
You're right, as Rick Merritt said.
Yeah, as Rick Merritt.
You're right.
The famous Rick Merritt.
Kevin from Hendersonville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, coming from a lifelong South Carolina fan who has experienced much pain, we always play close stinkers with Vandy. This very well could steal one in Columbia. That's fair.
Every team that's weird. The weird thing about sports, every team has that one team that they always play close stinkers with.
Right. And I think there's always the trauma from fans. You always think you're not going to be good, especially like South Carolina, when everybody's crowning South Carolina as this underdog this year. They are the sexy pick around college football this
year.
They
could very well go out and just crap the bed.
Like,
everyone likes them.
We're going to see so many college football playoff predictions over the next 2 months.
Yeah.
Heading up to the season. And I would bet almost all of them have South Carolina in or around the top 12. And they could end up not living up to the hype. I do like that team, though.
The problem is, who's Lenore Sellers throwing to besides Nick Harbor? And who's the running back going to be? And then they lost a lot on their defense.
Yeah.
They still have Dylan Stewart, but they lost a lot on their defensive line.
South Carolina, it feels like a star-heavy, top-heavy team. Like, they've got the name brand of Harbor and Sellers and Stewart, but what's behind that? Do we know? So, I'm not so sure. Greg Roberts says, did you really say Vandy could be an eight-win team? I mean, looking at the schedule, I think everything would have to go right, but there are eight winnable games on that schedule.
I would agree, but I would say it's
improbable. They would have to run the table,
yeah.
I think.
It's improbable. It's not impossible, but it's improbable.
But I think another bowl-eligible season for Vanderbilt would be a big step in the right direction.
Yes.
And I think that's very possible. So 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will get to your phones coming up next because we are going to transition out east to the Tennessee Volunteers. Talk a little bit about the Vols and what they look like this year minus Nico Iamaleava. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly in for Jared Stillman today here on Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Mellow Mushroom. There's no pizza like Mellow Mushroom Pizza. Stone-baked with fresh ingredients, next-level imagination, and limitless options for customization, it's a higher order of pizza. You know and love Mellow Mushroom. Now get half off a $30 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Gift card is good for downtown Broadway and Franklin locations. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you here on Stillman & Company. Looking around the SEC, especially at the two in-state schools here in Tennessee, just did a deep dive on Vandy, went through their schedule, what they could look like this year.
Sorry, I'm struggling back here. I'm falling.
Did you find a wasp?
No. I think D-Mace brought that mutant with him.
I think he did. We'll have to get a wasp update from D-Mace next week.
We'll have to get Jake Wallman in here to spray down.
Let's transition out east to the Vols. losing Nico Iamaleava in spring practice and having to transition to either transfer Joey Aguilar or unproven Jake Merklinger. And what better way to start off our conversation on the Vols than going to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and talking with Adam in Portland, who wants to talk about the Vols. Adam, what's going on? What you got for us?
Dude, you guys have done a good job this week. I've listened every day. I think you have squatter's rights, and you should just be like, I'm not giving the spot back.
We're going to
make Gary go to Saturday.
We're going to sleep in the studio tonight and make sure he can't take over.
Well, I don't think you'd have a whole lot of blowback just by Jerry. But, hey, check it out. So, I think I heard Connor or somebody just now say the Vols won't be as explosive. Dude, I can argue, like, in the last 2.5 years, they've not been explosive at all. Like, they've had one good player. They had a running back. It was Dylan Sampson last year. And Nico, I understand he was supposed to be good. So was the Vols have had quarterbacks coming up through the years that were supposed to be good. Golly, I can't remember. That's what I'm saying. You can't remember them. But they've had 5 stars coming here and just fade out. So, Nico, that Arkansas game, I'm sure you guys felt the same way. Just let the air out of my stomach, man. When he didn't throw the ball, you can make mistakes, especially when you're a young quarterback. When you just hold the ball and run out of bounds to end a game, like, that's all I need to see from you. So, I think any quarterback's going to be an upgrade. Like, I'm not saying that the Vols are going to be – you know, the national champions, but they made the playoffs last year with a running back, just a running back. So I think any offensive contribution, because Heupel Stidham's still good, dude. So if you can get the quarterback to hit those, you know, wide routes, a quarterback that has timing like Hendon Hooker did, like you get any contribution from the passing game, you could be a really good offense. So I don't think the Vols got hurt by losing that quarterback.
Adam, I do think you make a good point, and thank you for the call, that Nico, I think the amount of hype and the dialogue around him does influence our opinion of him now.
Yes.
He was called the savior and signed, he changed NIL with the contract that he signed and the deal that he agreed to. And after last year, after the bowl game where he went off and everybody kind of was looking at it as he's the guy and he's going to take Tennessee back to the national championship conversation. And even when he didn't look as good last year, I think the aura around Nico still stayed until this year. And that's why, in my mind, I'm thinking it's a downgrade at quarterback. But he does make a good point. What exactly did Nico do last year on the field that makes you think that it's going to be such a massive downgrade at quarterback?
Right.
I think that is a very good point from Adam.
And that leads me to what happened to play calling. You know, in 2022, it was Josh Heupel was getting so much praise.
Oh, I'll explain that for you.
Well, let me do it, pal. I'm just kidding. Josh Heupel was getting so much praise for throwing the ball down the field. Go back and watch the Alabama game. Jalin Hyatt ran deep routes. Hendon Hooker would find him deep. That's why he scored 5 touchdowns, because he was just burning over safeties. The play calling has gone downhill for Josh.
Let me stop you right there.
Easy producer.
Okay. Hold on. In the Alabama game, when Nico, you remember when Nico would take deep shots to Squirrel White and just overthrow him?
Yes.
Josh Heupel has to call conservatively because that stuff kept happening. He doesn't have a quarterback that could operate the offense like Hendon Hooker. So it has nothing to do with the play calling. It has everything to do with what happened on the field.
Hmm.
It's fair.
That's true.
I just, even though I do think Nico was overhyped, and I think it is a little overblown to think, oh, well, they're going to be horrible because he's gone. I do look at Joey Aguilar and say, is he really going to, like, he had a really good season in 2023 with App State. 33 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 3,700 yards. Last year, though, in the Sun Belt, 23 touchdowns, 14 picks.
I mean, nothing uber impressive to me.
I wonder, and maybe it isn't going to be Aguilar starting.
Right.
But even if Nico wasn't that good last year, I don't see either of these guys being much better.
Yeah. No, I know it's, you could argue it's execution mostly. And I agree with that to a T. I feel like Heupel trusted Hendon Hooker way, way more than he trusted Nico. And that was shown with the conservative play calling. And plus you had an all SEC running back and Dylan Sampson that you believe in and a guy that gave you results. Execution is part of the issue, but also I think he needs to get back to that balls to the wall kind of play call where he's just gunning it down your throat.
Well, who's going to execute
the offense? Right. If you have the quarterback who can do it, right? Like,
yeah.
But, and it is funny because I've said this before. Hendon Hooker, I thought when he transferred from Virginia Tech to Tennessee, I thought he was going to fade into the oblivion and never be heard from again. Like, he got benched at the end of his career at Tech because he could not execute the game plan. Basically, the Hokies were playing Clemson and wanted to just shorten that game as much as possible, keep Trevor Lawrence off the field. And Hendon Hooker snapped the ball with like 28 seconds left on the play clock. And Fuente pulled him, put in Braxton Burmeister. That was the last play that Hendon Hooker played with Virginia Tech. I thought he was done. But he did find such a perfect marriage with Josh Heupel. Like, Josh Heupel found a quarterback who could run his offense perfectly, and Hendon Hooker found an offense that fit to his strengths. And it is funny because it didn't come from a five-star. Like, Hendon Hooker was a good recruit. He was a four-star out of high school, but it's not like he was this generational talent. Maybe that's what Heupel needs to look for, is just, you got to find somebody who fits but maybe isn't this five-star guy. Like, Tennessee has a five-star coming in next
Faison
year.
Faison Brandon, who is actually from Hendon Hooker's neck of the woods in North Carolina.
Really?
So imagine what, you know, what Heupel did with Hendon Hooker, who was a four-star, was fighting to keep his job at Virginia Tech, and look at the production that he got out of a guy like Hendon Hooker. Imagine what he can do with Faison Brandon, who is the number one overall recruit in the country.
Right, and that's what I just wonder, if it's more about fit than talent with Heupel.
Yeah.
Like, Brandon can be the best quarterback ever, but if he can't run that offense, is it worth anything to Tennessee?
Right. I'm reading this from Dustin in Hopkinsville. This is the most accurate depiction of Mark Stoops I have ever read in my life. Notorious for letting his QB1 drive down the field, then throwing his tall, fast QB2, known for his run game, and at the 15. Last year, that was Brock Vandergriff was QB1, and then they throw in Gavin Wimsatt for whatever reason. Three plays in a row, moves you 2 yards forward, 5 yards back, then a sack, killing all momentum. God, we love Mark Stoops.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Kentucky enough. Maybe we'll spend the last segment of the hour on that.
Okay.
We'll let you just...
Yeah, we'll let him take
the reins. We'll let you give us a Kentucky preview, because I know absolutely nothing about Kentucky this year.
Give you big blue propaganda.
Yeah. Why are they going to go 12-0 this year?
Why is Cutter Bowley not starting at quarterback?
Louisville Jared would kill me if I knew I was...
I know.
If he knew I was spreading blue propaganda on his program.
We're breaking all the rules of Stillman and Company this
week. He's not here to stop me.
I know. We talked about the salary cap. We talk about Kentucky. What else? I said something else the other day that would make me evaporate.
Sam Darnold.
Oh, right. Yeah, we criticized Sam Darnold. Man, we're doing it all. I hope Jared's not listening.
Didn't you say something about Steve McNair, too, or is that...
Oh, yeah, I said Dak Prescott would arguably be the best. No, we're not getting back into that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll wrap up our conversation on the SEC as a whole coming up next. Again, SEC Media Day is coming up next week in Atlanta. Make sure to keep it tuned right here on 102.5 The Game for all your coverage. I believe Chase and Big Joe are going to have a lot of good stuff from Atlanta next week. So excited for that. Vanderbilt speaking on Monday, Tennessee on Tuesday. We'll continue to talk Southeastern Conference football coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, in for Jared Stillman today, talking SEC football. SEC Media Day is coming up starting on Monday, the start of football season. We'll hear from Vanderbilt on Monday, Tennessee on Tuesday. Looking around the rest of the SEC, Texas is sending Arch Manning. I'd love if somebody asked Arch Manning about Paul Feinbaum's comments the last couple days. Like,
I hope Paul Feinbaum asks us Arch Manning about
I'm
Paul
sure
Feinbaum's
that he'll get
comments.
Him. Like, he put a
well,
lot
he'll be there.
He put a lot of pressure on him with those comments, saying that he's the best quarterback in college football since Tim Tebow.
Yeah. Unnecessary pressure, too. Because now if he does anything short of that,
right,
it's going to be looked at as
it's
a failure.
It's like he's propping him up. I think Arch Manning's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be a Heisman finalist this year.
I don't think he's coming out of the draft this year. I think he stays.
I think so, too. But there is a point where he would kind of have to go, right? Like, if you're the guaranteed number one overall pick, you don't stay.
Now, if he performs to that level of, you know, Tim Tebow, and he's guaranteed the number one overall pick, he's going.
Right.
But I think if he's anything less of that, like if he's projected, you know, in the top 15 or so, I think he just comes back.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, that's what their family has done historically, is they don't go out early. There's a chance it happens, but I think Arch Manning will be probably a top 6 to 7 quarterback in the country this year. He'll be one of the best.
I think that's fair.
I just don't think he's going to be the best.
Yeah.
I really like Lenoris Sellers. I really like Drew Aller. I really like Garrett Nussmeier. Those would be the three to me that I'm keeping an eye on.
Those are definitely my three.
Lagway's in that conversation too, but you haven't seen enough of him.
Are we talking just SEC?
No, everybody. Like I put Aller in there.
I love Cade Klubnik.
I can't believe I forgot Cade Klubnik. Yeah, he's in there. I'm excited to see Julian Sayin at Ohio State.
Yeah, he'll be interesting.
We mentioned that Ohio State-Texas game in week one. It is nice that both those quarterbacks are relative unknowns.
I'm interested in Dante Moore.
Yeah,
Oregon.
At Oregon. A lot of good quarterbacks this year.
Yeah.
But not really a consensus top one, which is fun. Your Kentucky Wildcats, they'll be in the morning session on the final day on Thursday.
Saving the best for last.
Give us a little briefing of what to expect from Kentucky football this year.
They're not going to be good. I'll just tell you that right now. They have decent pieces. Like, I like Kendrick Law coming in from Alabama, who's a speed threat.
Good player.
Good player. Has to work on his hands a little bit, but he's only here for, I think he's a redshirt junior. So, maximum of 2 years.
Yeah.
I really like the running back room. They bring in Dante Dowdle from Nebraska. Jason Patterson was still there.
Do they still have that that NC State transfer? Carn Bay?
No. No, I think he graduated.
I really liked him when he was with he was with NC State.
Yeah.
He just never turned anything.
I really like Jamarian Wilcox, who will probably get like the third running back snaps this year, but he's a redshirt sophomore. He's really, really fast. But as far as the quarterback situation, you bring in Zach Calzada, who is not accustomed to success in the SEC. Started at A&M, transferred over to Cam Ward University, and came back. Now is at Kentucky. I'm not a huge fan of the running or the quarterback room. Cutter Bowley, I guess, who is the greatest quarterback of all time, according to Parker Kelly.
Some will say
he's a prospect to look at, but I don't think he'll make any moves. The offensive line is going to be abysmal. As usual.
Offensive line play is just, it's so tough to get good offensive linemen in college. Like, look at the NFL. There are not enough good offensive linemen to build 32 starting offensive lines. College is even worse because all the best offensive lines are going to go to the best schools. Like, look at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
They just paid that guy $5 million as a 17-year-old.
Yeah. Now, one thing I think Kentucky has going for it is it's going to be a solid defense. You got key pieces, and you know you bring in Marquise Humphrey Grace, transfer. I'm blanking on where he's from, but you have good linebackers in Alex Afari and DJ Waller. Your secondary is good with Jonquise Hardaway. They're gonna have a good defense, but in the SEC, it's not about having a good defense. It's about who could score more points, and I feel like the offenses in the SEC are just so much better than in any other conference, and that's hard for even a good defense to stack up against. So, I don't know. I'm feeling 4 to 5 wins this year.
Yeah, it's tough.
This is the year, man. This is the year, boys. As Dustin Hopkinsville says, this is the year we fire Stoops.
He's putting out a full Kentucky preview on the text line right now. Very good insight from Dustin from Hopkinsville. 9064 with a very hot take on our text line. He says he'll bet John Mateer from Oklahoma and Austin Simmons from Ole Miss will both end up being higher in the Heisman voting than everyone we just listed.
Whoa.
That's a 10. That's a 10 on the boldness scale.
We just listed off basically the consensus top 6 to 8 quarterbacks. He says Sellers put up a whopping 3 points at home against Ole Miss. Let's pump the brakes. I get it. I think Lenora Sellers is fun to watch, and that's but he's a good player. And then Drew Aller, he says, ain't no Big Ten team ever going to put up the offensive numbers needed. I don't care if Penn State goes undefeated. Aller,
But Penn State plays such a schedule where they can go 10-2.
And he's so experienced, too. Yeah. And he makes some throws that make you go, wow.
He's gonna get some love.
I think Aller will be good. I wouldn't pick Aller to win the Heisman. I think if I had to pick two right now, Klubnik and Nussmeier would be the two that I'm keeping my eye on.
I think I'd agree with you, but I love Lagway.
Lagway, Sellers, Manning.
Yeah.
They're all in that conversation, too. But I do like that he brought up Mateer and Simmons. Simmons, I don't know a ton about him at Ole Miss, but Mateer I know was really good with Washington State. And Oklahoma, that's a program that needs a jolt of energy. And Parker, you said they brought in his offensive coordinator and his quarterbacks coach?
Yes, Ben Arbuckle, and then I can't remember the name of the quarterback
What
coach.
If it's like a Vanderbilt thing where Vandy just imported a bunch of New Mexico State guys and then ended up working out? Maybe that's what Oklahoma needed.
I think it is. I mean, it's literally the same offense. John Mateer does not have to learn a different offense.
I really like John Mateer, though. I think
he was great. Yeah. But the problem is not a lot of people watched him at Washington State, so they don't really know who he is. But
that's good for him.
He's really good. Yeah. He's really good.
That's good for him from a film perspective.
Right.
Not a lot of people know what you can do, so go out and show them.
As always, it's going to be a fun year in the SEC. And again, SEC Media Days are coming up next week. Make sure to keep it tuned right here on 102.5 The Game for all your updates. There's so much competition at the top. Like, odds are it's going to be Texas or Georgia or Alabama who wins the SEC.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of teams lurking.
Yeah, there's these secondary teams that are just...
LSU, yeah. Florida, South Carolina. Florida is an interesting one to me because I think Billy Napier saved his job by putting DJ Lagway in.
You did.
And giving the little spark of like, oh man, maybe he just needed to find the quarterback.
I mean, I never thought that Graham Mertz was just insanely talented.
I don't know what it is about Wisconsin, but Wisconsin quarterbacks just are historically awful going back to, I guess, when Russell Wilson was there.
Yeah.
Like, every year it feels like they have these guys who are moderately highly recruited, and they just forget how to throw the forward pass.
Maybe that's something they need to look into instead of jumping around, jump up and get down.
I'm excited for the SEC this year, and I think Florida is one of the wild cards there because they could either be in the college football playoff or be firing Billy Napier at the end of the year. I don't think they can go 6-6 and feel good about that.
Would you put him on the hot seat still?
If they're not good this year, like if they're a 6 or 7 win team, I think so.
I think I agree with you.
I think
what about Shane Beamer?
No, Beamer I think saved himself last year.
Yeah, with Sellers.
If they miss a bowl this year, I think he could get fired. But I think if they're just average, they'll give him at least one more year.
I agree.
Unless there's a mass exodus from his team and like Sellers, Stewart all transfer and he loses all those recruits he's brought in.
Yeah.
I don't know. Long way to go until football season. Still are about 6 weeks away, but it's starting to feel closer. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel. SEC Media Days coming up next week in Atlanta. When we come back, it's time for our final game of
Come on,
Where
America.
Are They Now this week.
We need your help.
Connor has been shut out this week. Can he get on the board?
We need a miracle run here.
Parker Kelly will host Me versus Connor and Where Are They Now coming up next here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.